Well, we're going to be looking at Luke. We're back in Luke again. Chapter 9. Right. From the sublime to the ridiculous. That's what we've got this morning. That's not, doesn't mean me. I hope not anyway. It's the life of an apprentice. I've used the word apprentice because that's a better way to describe the word disciple. When you think of disciple, what do you think of?
Discipline.
Discipline. Well, there, that's a good one, yes. An apprentice, what do you think of when you hear the word apprentice?
Someone learning.
Someone learning. And that's what disciple means, is a learner. Right? And that's what the disciples were, and that's what disciples still are. Right? And we're going to look at the life of an apprentice in chapter 9 of Luke this morning. And hopefully gather some useful things for our apprenticeship. Right. So it's chapter 9, and it's from verse... Let's have a look where we get to. Verse 1. Yes, verse 1 to 17, I think it is. Did you say that? Yes, right. Right. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town, as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard all about what was going on, and he was perplexed, because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about? And he tried to see him. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here. He replied, you give them something to eat. They answered, we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of about 50 each. The disciples did so, and everybody sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Praise the Lord. Quite a miracle, eh? Well, let's have a look at these disciples, or apprentices, as I like to call them. Right. It's their first mission. I hope you realise that as you're reading through Luke's Gospel. This is the first time that Jesus has sent them out on their own. Bit of a scary experience, perhaps, do you think? Right, so they're going out to try out what they've learned. Right, so that's what an apprentice is all about. So it's their first mission, but I want you to really get an idea of what Jesus has done and is doing with them. Right, because he's doing that with you and me. Right, so first of all, his teaching method here is, it still applies today, Jesus demonstrates what he wants them to do. Right? He shows them how to do the job. Right? Important, that. I don't know about you, but I learn, not so much out of books, I can learn from books, but I really do find out when I get my hands on something, by doing it. Right? So, doing the job is the way to learn. So Jesus shows them how to do it. He shows them how to speak, how to explain the scriptures, he tells them what the message is, and so all of those things, and he also shows them how he does his miracles. Each one unique, of course, but he's showing them how to communicate and get the power from God in order to do the things you need to do. Right. So then he instructs them. He gives them, I mean, he's been with them for the best part of 3 years. He's been teaching them, getting them thinking God's way. That's important, isn't it? Retune your brain. You need to. I'm sorry to tell you this, but you need to retune your brain. Because when you come into the kingdom of God, things are altogether different. Paul says it in Romans, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Things have got to die, dear friends, in there for new life to come in, right? Okay, and then he authorizes them. He says he gave them power and authority, we'll see that in the next slide, but Jesus authorizes them to go. They're not going on their own. They may be on their own, but they're not going on their own. Jesus has given them authority to go. And of course, God will be with them when they do that, right? And he authorizes them and empowers them. It's all right being able to go, but when you get there, can you do the stuff? Right? You need power to do that, all right? And then he sends them. How long did he send them for? We don't know. 6 months? I don't know. I have no idea how long their little mission was. But he sent them, and out they went. And one question, I've got it at the bottom, I hope you can read it. What did Jesus do while they were away? Pray. I'm sure he was praying for them. And also ministering to people, wherever he was up as well, I'm sure of that. But I guess he was praying for them. That's, I think, one of the important things. Do you know why they were successful? Because Jesus was praying for them. Right? If you're going to do anything, you better be depending on Jesus backing you up. Right? That's vital. Right? Apprentices are not DIY experts. Right? We are GIY or JIY experts. Do it with Jesus, whatever it is. Jesus in yourself. Yes, all right. You got the idea, anyway. Yes. I made that up. You can tell, I can't. Right. Right. What did they have with them? What did they have with them? It says, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So he gave them power and authority. Those two pictures illustrate the difference between power and authority. Two different words, two different things. He gave them authority. A policeman stands in front of a great big articulated lorry, put his hand up, and has he got the power to stop the lorry? He's got the authority to stop the lorry, right? He's got all the police force in the country behind him. The lorry driver knows that. Okay, so when he says stop, you stop. That's authority, right? But if it was the Hulk or something like that that stood in front of him, he'd have the power to stop the lorry, wouldn't he? Yeah. Yes, there's a difference. The power is the ability to do it, but the authority is the right to do it. Okay, so Jesus gave them both. He gave them the right to go, and he gave them the power to do it when he sent them. Right, and I've just a couple of things to throw into that one, the challenge about all of this. I don't know if you find that challenging, but I do. What Jesus got them to do, is he wanting you to do something like that too? First of all, just to clear up what it's about, when he says they went to proclaim the kingdom of God. In the other Gospels, in Matthew in particular, you see, where Luke uses the phrase kingdom of God, Matthew uses the word kingdom of heaven. And some of our great theologians like to make a distinction between kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. It's the same, and I'll tell you why he uses different words. Matthew is talking to Jews, right? Jews don't use the word God. They substitute other words, Lord, heaven, the name, that, because they don't want to use the name God in case they misuse the name, right? So Matthew is using kingdom of heaven instead of using the phrase kingdom of God. But Luke's writing to us, isn't he? Well, Matthew's writing to you as well, of course. But, okay, so that's... But what does he mean by the kingdom of God? A better phrase would be the kingship. They're not talking about God's rule over the world, in that sense, his kingdom. Mm-hmm. Right? But it's, you know, because we live in the United Kingdom, don't we? But it's about the kingship of God. He's the Lord of everything. And he's Lord of you and your life. And you better turn it over to him. Right? Okay, otherwise you'll be a rebel.
Jesus, early ten. Do they also say, well, we've got a Lord Jesus?
Yes.
when you pray, because what I want to know...
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord, so when they're going to tell them about proclaiming about the good news,
yes.
They're saying Jesus.
Well, they'd be saying
God.
Jesus is the Messiah at that point.
Yeah, are they saying that?
Yes, they'd be saying Jesus is the Messiah at that point, yeah. Okay, so it's the kingship of God. God's rule. And of course, Jesus is ruling from the Father's right hand now, so you obey Jesus, don't you? Do you? Right? Then, last little bit, which is the real challenge to me. They're to go, Jesus sends them out, they're to go and proclaim. The word proclaim means to blow the trumpet, it's to preach, I suppose. But we're all proclaimers, you're all preachers, did you know that?
Yeah.
You are preachers, it depends on what you're preaching though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Every one of us has got a message, we're saying something when we open our mouths. And it may not be quite what you want them to hear, but it's what's coming out, it's what you're saying. Right? So we're preachers, right? So we can proclaim the words. We've got the message from Jesus, haven't we? God's kingdom, God's kingship reigns, and he wants you to respond to him, to turn from your sins, to turn back to God, and walk with him. Right? That's the message. But he didn't send them out just to talk. He says he sent them out with actions. Go, and he says, heal the sick. Now there's the rub bit, isn't it? You see, I mean, okay, we go out as Christians and we share the good news and we're to minister to people's needs, right? So, for example, missionaries, they'll go out and build hospitals, they'll sort of help with the literacy things, they'll help people with their sort of medical needs and things like that, and they pray for people. All of those things are right and good, yeah? So, our Christian faith has got to be practical. But this is saying, and this is the challenge to me, is saying more than just that we go and build hospitals for healing the sick. What Jesus is saying to them is, go out, tell them the message, and I'll back it up with supernatural action. It's the supernatural action that worries me, brothers and sisters, and I'll tell you why, I don't see enough. Yeah? That's the problem, isn't it?
Did they say, say they were sick in Jesus' name?
Yeah, they'd heal them. Yeah. They didn't have time to build hospitals.
So
they didn't have time to do that.
Crucified and rose and again.
But see, he hasn't died yet. He hasn't died yet.
So did they still say in Jesus' name? Or did they say God please?
Well, God please. I don't know what phrases they use, but they prayed for the sick.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, when you pray for the sick, in my name, probably in Jesus' name, yeah. When you pray for the sick, they're going to get well.
Yeah.
Is that worrying?
Yes.
It should do.
Yeah.
Because, are you being a proper apprentice if you don't see God working in your life and through you? That's the challenge. Of course, in Matthew's Gospel, at the end of Matthew, Jesus says to the disciples, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me, therefore go and make disciples. Right? Baptize them and teach them everything I do. Right? He doesn't say anything about healing them. So that's got us off the hook, hasn't it? No? Read the end of Matthew's Gospel. Yeah? If you go and preach the Gospel, these are the signs that will accompany the message. Right? You pray for the sick, they get well. Demons get cast out. The dead are raised. That's not bad either, is it?
No.
Friends, I find that worrying. Yeah? We need to see more of the power of God. It's dependence on the Holy Spirit. These disciples are raw guys, you know. They're not experts either, really. But anyway, that's what happens. Next step. That's what they had with them. What didn't they have? Probably this is the reason why we don't, yeah? What didn't they have with them? He told them, take nothing from the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. There you are. Go as you are. That's a good one, isn't it? Why? Why did Jesus ask or tell them? Don't take any of this stuff with you. They're dependent on God. They're dependent on him for all that they have, right? So, that's... I mean, I read some commentators, he says, it meant that there was no delay. You know, they just went when they were told. Right? Well, maybe that's the case, but I don't think that's what it's about. Yes. You know, it wouldn't take long to round up a few bags and bits and bobs to take with you, would it? Right? Jesus says, don't take it, and I think the reason is, he's dependent on him. Right? And, of course, I put that phrase, treasures in jars of clay. What's that mean? Treasures in jars of clay. No. It's what Paul talks about. He says, the glory of God is seen through us, but people realise we're just pots. Right? The glory gets the glory, not you. Right? And so, here's these disciples, they've got nothing else except God. That's not bad to have them, is it?
No.
Right? They've got nothing else except the authority and the power and God's presence with them. And that makes them proper apprentices. Brilliant. Right, so off they go. Next, please. So, he says, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. That's a welcoming house, isn't it? Right, yeah. Okay, so why does he do that? Why does Jesus say, when you find a place and somebody welcomes you, stay there? It's a working base, in a sense, you know. They know where they're coming and going from. Right, so there'll be maybe a few days there. So it's one working base. But the other is...
something's going to happen.
Something's going to happen in that house. What's that house going to be?
It's going to be
blessed. Yes.
Being healed.
Yes, they'll be healed. But this is how it works in mission. Right? It's the start of the church.
Yeah.
Ah, right? That's the place where the things begin to happen. Right? Right? So the Lord produces a family situation, the people come in. Right? You read in the Gospels in Acts of the Apostles, time and again, it's in a house.
Yeah.
The house begins where the church is, you see? And the church begins to grow from the house.
Okay.
So it's a working base, but it's also a strategic starting point as well. Then next thing, please. Right. How to cope with rejection. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. How about that? That's how to cope with rejection. Yeah? The disciples, because not everybody wants to hear, you know. Not everybody's going to welcome you. You knew that, did you?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, well, if you try being an apprentice, you'll find out soon enough. They don't want, mind you, don't be totally negative. I'm not trying to make you totally negative. They're not all out there to dump you, you know. There are some that want to know. Right? Praise the Lord for that, yes? But he says if they reject you, don't worry about it. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. I can handle it. I want you to handle it too, right? So he says, shake the dust off as a testimony against them. Why a testimony against them? Yeah? Jesus is thinking long term. The day is going to come when that town and those people that rejected Jesus are going to stand before him when he's the king on his throne, and they're going to be saying nothing. Because the people who took them will be saying, we went there, Lord. They know we went there. And they wouldn't listen. Right? It's a warning. So it's not only a challenge to the people that they're leaving. They're saying, it's not our problem. It's yours now. You've heard. But also, it's a way of sort of... it's sort of the last chance, isn't it? Yeah. Trying to stir them up to react in order to respond to Jesus, right? So, it's a final call for some. The day will come when they'll find out their rejection is going to bite them. Right, next thing, please. So, they set out from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. So, they got no bags, they got no money. How did they get around? They walked, right? It's great fun being an apprentice, you know. Right? They travelled from place to place. And Jesus sent them out two by two, we're told in some of the other Gospels. Why two by two? It's support.
Yeah.
To support each other. You're not a lone ranger, brother and sister. You shouldn't be a lone ranger. Yeah? We're working together. Right? So they went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people. Hey, do you know what they did? They did what they were told, number one. And when they did what they were told, what happened? It worked. It's not amazing. It's not supposed to be amazing. It's where God's made it happen, yeah? But it worked. Why did it work? They did what they were told, it worked. Why? Because they're fulfilling what God had said, and therefore the Lord backs it up. Right? God won't back up your harebrained schemes, brother and sister. You know, I've got a great idea, Lord, I want you to bless it. And the Lord says, I've got a better idea, will you do it my way? Right? Okay. It worked because they did what they were told. Important. Apprentices are to do what they're told. Instructions, please. Yes. Right. Fix that, please. Right. And when they're doing that, what happens is, you know the grapevine? This is the Israeli grapevine. Exceedingly efficient. Right. Says, news gets around. Now, Herod the Tetrarch, he's the ruler in that area where they were up north. Yeah. Herod the Tetrarch heard all about what was going on. He was perplexed because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead. That's John the Baptist, by the way, yeah? Others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this that I hear such things about? And he tried to see him. Right. So, he's worried. Right. Some are saying John the Baptist has come back from the dead. Right. That's one. Or that Elijah has appeared. Why do they say Elijah has appeared? Miracles happened with Elijah, yes. There's more than that. Elijah comes back before the Messiah does. Right? That's the sign of the Messiah arriving. Elijah comes. Elijah'd been, and he'd executed him. John the Baptist. Yeah? Right, so but that was so Elijah's the forerunner of the Messiah. Right? And what about one of the prophets of long ago? Where did they get that from? Any guess? No. If I ask you some reference to the Old Testament, what book must you say?
Deuteronomy!
Right, yes. In Deuteronomy, it says, Moses says, a prophet like me will come. You have to listen to him. Right? The prophet's arrived. His name's Jesus. Right, okay. So, Herod hears all these things. Things are going on, things are happening. What on earth is it? And he says, he was curious about it, yes. He tried to see him. He wanted to see who was this person, Jesus. He tried to see him. Strange, isn't it? Isn't he? He's sort of pulled in two directions. He doesn't want God, but he wants something that God's got. Yeah? And that was the same with John the Baptist. He didn't want to kill him, but his missus talked him into it. Yeah? So it was pulled two ways. Well, he's drawn. But the sad thing is, the two directions he's been pulled in, one's the wrong one, and he lets that win. Every time. The wrong direction being pulling in your life, you've got a choice. Do you go God's way or do you go my way? And my way will lead you into trouble. Right? So, Herod's one of those guys. He might be king, but he's a slave to his own stupid ways and heart. Right? Anyway, what happened when he did see Jesus? He did get to see Jesus eventually.
Yeah.
Right? He poked Jesus with loads of questions. And what did Jesus say?
Nothing.
Nothing. Because it won't make any difference. He made his decisions. Herod was going Herod's way, so no point in talking. So he got really upset with Jesus then, sent him back to Pilate. Yeah. Okay, but the interesting thing is, the effect of the mission is that Jesus gets the attention. Isn't it interesting? It says, Herod heard all that was going on, and who did he want to see? Did he want to see the disciples?
No.
Who got the glory?
Jesus.
Friends, if that's your mission, Jesus gets the glory, God will back it up. That's the way it works. Right? You start saying, my little job, my little kingdom, my glory, right? You've just moved from being apprentice to trying being king. It won't work. Right? Jesus gets the glory. So when they returned, the apostle, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Said, how did you do? Right? And they told him. Right. And Luke doesn't tell us anymore. And that's really interesting. You know, if it had been today, we've been out on one of these fantastic missions and we've done all these wonderful things. People are healed, and demons are thrown out, and the gospel's preached. We'd come back and we'd ask them to say what had happened and we'd have a long, long story. All the statistics from it. 25,000 gave their life to Jesus. There were 348 miracles. We don't get nothing of that. Why not?
Thank you all.
Take too long. Yeah. Good point, yes. Take too long. Yeah, I think we're getting the glory in the wrong place.
Yeah.
You know? Jesus says it, you read it I think it's in Matthew or Mark's Gospel. He says, they came back saying, wow, Lord, even the demons submit to us. And Jesus says, don't be too proud of that. Don't be boasting and thinking, wonderful, the demons submit to you. You'll be glad about this. Your names are written in the book of life. That's the thing that matters. It's not what you do, not the big jobs you do, not all the stuff you've got to your credit, you know, your CV, right? Your CV don't count, dear friends. It's what Jesus has done for you that matters. Right? So, no fanfare, no statistics. They reported back. Report to Jesus. Lord, I've done what you said. And he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Right? Next, please. Right, time to rest. Did you know apprentices get tired? You did know that, didn't you? Did you get tired? Absolutely. Right. So he took them with him and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. A nice, quiet spot. Let's go for a holiday, yeah?
Bedside.
Yeah, that's good, yes, I like that, yeah. All right, so they got tired, yeah, they needed a rest, yeah. Of course, working for the Lord, he invigorates you, the Holy Spirit will empower you, you know. Yeah, but still get tired, obviously. Right, okay, next slide, please. But, I like this one, but the crowds learned about it and followed him. There you are, there's a crowd. Just think, you've gone for a nice, quiet rest, and you see this mob turning up towards you. Wonderful, eh?
Yeah.
Right? I've put there, life happens, especially when you're with Jesus. Right? It don't always work out the way you'd like it to. Right? And what's the learning lesson for the disciples, the apprentices here is? Well, not necessarily no rest, but your agenda isn't going to be the one that God's running on. You thought, you must have been where I've been, you know, I've got it all worked out. It's just going to be great now. I'm just going to sit down and have a nice quiet time. And what happens? Home goes. Or, Denise! Or, you know, the good wife. Whatever it is, life happens. Your agenda may not be. And what's happening when God allows that to happen? He's testing your response. Are you willing to say yes to God? Or is just you taking over for a moment, yeah? Let's have a look at our next one. Anyway, here we are. This is great, yeah. So, how does Jesus respond? It's a learning point for the apprentices, yeah? He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Wow. Fancy, Jesus has been busy all this time, right? And now, when they turn up, he continues to minister to them. He's amazing, isn't he? Yeah. When you've got a need, Jesus isn't going to turn away and say, I'll come back next week when I'm ready. Right? No, he's there. Wow, he's amazing. How about the learning point for the apprentices? Okay, watch what Jesus does. Jesus finds time for people. Right? Challenge them, brothers and sisters. The Englishman's home is his castle, or whatever it may be called. Yeah? Right? Don't call me, I'll call you. Yeah? Don't work that way, does it? Right, come on, apprentices onwards, please. Next, please, then, yes. Right. There they are. Late in the afternoon, I like that bit. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him. They're all in it, you see. The 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and the countryside and find food and lodging because we are in a remote place here. Can you imagine how they said that? Ever so nice and sympathetic. Oh, Jesus, you're looking tired. Send them away. Look, they're looking tired too. Send them away. Let them get a rest. They need food. They need rest. It's a remote place, you know. Send them away. Right, so, I've got the question. Their concern, is it for Jesus?
No, themselves.
For the people.
No.
Compassion, you know. We're supposed to be compassionate as apprentices, aren't we? Yeah. Right? Or is it for themselves? I think there's a large smattering of self in there somewhere.
They were tired.
And they've just had an extra session. Lord, I need a break. It's a great, isn't it? Yeah? So, right. Good. So, next question. Next page, next bit, yeah. So, Jesus replied, you give them something to eat. Not another job. You give them something to eat. This is an apprentice learning point. Yes, when you get stuff, you're learning things. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Right. What's the learning point for the disciples here? I've put a little clue here. Connect the present need with the past experience. You see, brothers and sisters, our problem, well, maybe not yours, my problem is this, you know. You see God do things, you know that God does wonderful things, and he does, doesn't he? I mean, we can all see answers to prayer and how God works, right? And that's wonderful. That's in your logbook of what you remember what God's done. And then you come across a new, challenging situation, and you think, ah! Right? Where's the logbook? Remember, these guys have just been out on mission. They've seen sick people healed, dead people raised, blind people see, demons thrown out, all this supernatural stuff, and then they're faced with a bit of food problem. Only 5,000 plus. Yeah? What do we do? Yeah? They're not connecting what God's done with where God is now. Apprentices, we've got to learn a few things. take a step back and think, well, here's a challenge. I can obviously see it's not one I can handle. Lord, you help me there. What do I do now? That's what you need to ask. Lord, what do I do now? Right? You don't have to solve it. You ask him to solve it. Right? What do I do now? Well, they didn't do that, did they? Right, they come up with what I call a reasonable excuse. Next, please. Yeah. A reasonable excuse. They answered, we've only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. About 5,000 men were there. That's not including the ladies and the kids, of course. A lot of people. We've only got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and they had to dig them off a lad as well.
Yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, he volunteered them, to be honest. Yeah. Right. That's all we got. They look at what they got. Right. Connect with the past. What did they go out with?
Nothing.
Nothing! At least they got 2 fish and a few loaves, didn't they? Or how many fish?
Two.
Yeah, 2 fish and 5 loaves. Well, we've got something. Right? Anyway, that's their problem. And of course, they basically say, we can't do it, Lord. We haven't got enough. Right? And they say, if we go and buy the stuff, and there's a big if, because they know they haven't got enough money. Mm-hmm. You go and try and buy food for 5,000 families.
They went out in Africa and bought one and
Yeah. Well, they've got enough money. They've got enough food. Right? So, it's a reasonable excuse. How many times have you come up with a reasonable excuse to the Lord? Lord, I can't do this. You know why. And then you give him all the good reasons. And he still tells you, I want you to do it. Oh, bad, isn't it? Being the apprentice, you know. It's not all fun and games, you know. Next step, please. Right, so here's a job for apprentices. Right? Jesus says to the disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. The disciples did so, and everyone sat down. So that's their job. Organise this lot, and get them to sit down in groups of 50. Great job, eh? So, another job for the disciples. Right, get them to sit down. Now, if you were one of the crowd, I just put myself in their position. If you were one of the crowd, and the disciple comes to you and says, can you round yourself up into a group of 50 or so, and sit down, and you say, why? What are you going to tell them? The answer is, I don't know, but he said do it. Right? That's all I can tell you this far. I don't know, but he said do it. Right? Good enough? See, it's not your problem.
It's the waiting again with the wine and water, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just do it.
Just do it. So, right, when the people say, why? I assume some of them. Or maybe they just get, oh, something's going to happen. A little bit of excitement coming up, yeah? Anyway, sit down. That's all you've got to do. Sit down. Right, next step, please. Right. Jesus gives thanks. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. Well, I put the question there. In what way did the miracle happen? Right. Jesus, I assume he's got 12 plates or something like that. I don't know what he got hold of, but something like that. So he gets these fish and he breaks them up into little bits on each of this is the way I think it works. He breaks them up into little bits on each of the plates, right? So they've all got a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish on each plate. Right? And then they take it out. That's what I think happens. Or it could have been Jesus stands there and every time he broke it another bit came on.
Yeah.
Right? He could have done it that way, couldn't he? I don't think Jesus did that. And I'll tell you why. Jesus is training apprentices. He's not doing the job himself. Right? Right? Jesus is getting the apprentices to learn how to do it. Right? And if he did it all, they don't learn anything. Right? So I think, as I say, he broke them up into bits on their little dish or whatever it was, and he gave them that lot. And he says, go and feed your 50. Right? Take it to your 50. Right, so you go out with your little plate to your 50, and you look at them all over.
Yeah.
Right? What do you do?
Pray.
Pray. Don't need to pray. Jesus told them to do it, you see. What do you do? You take a piece and you break it up and you give it to them. And what happens?
It multiplies.
Yeah. While you're doing it.
Yeah.
I put another question. What did the apprentices think as they went first? With their little plateful. This is going to be embarrassing. This is going to be embarrassing. I know it will. Right? And after the 10th attempt, what are they thinking now? Whoa, this is fabulous. Wonderful. Look at me, I'm a miracle man. Yeah? Okay?
And then it stops.
Right. Well, they fed the lot. Next picture, please. Right, yeah. They all ate and were satisfied. That is serious, a miracle, isn't it? Eh? They all ate, and remember, that second part of the sentence is utterly essential to the whole story. Because you can eat a crumb, can you? They could all have a crumb each, couldn't they? But they didn't eat a crumb, they all ate and were satisfied. So either crumbs are really nutritious, or they got more than a crumb. Right? It's a miracle. And it's a miracle of all sorts. A miracle of creation, first of all. Jesus makes something out of a little, virtually out of nothing, you could say, couldn't you? Right? So that's a miracle of creation. Isn't that wonderful? So when you are ministering to the Lord, with the Lord, in situations as apprentices, and you pray for someone, and they get healed, maybe the blind see, or the lame walk, that's a creation miracle, the apprentice, isn't it? Yeah? Right. It's a miracle of compassion. These people will flake out if they go empty stomachs to the next villages or whatever. Right? So it's a miracle. God shows he cares. It's good, eh? Why does God do miracles? Because he cares for you. Cares for people. Right? And also it's God's wonderful provision. He's not short of a thing or two. He knows how to be abundant in his blessing. They were satisfied. They didn't just get a little meal, they got a full meal. Wonderful. That's Jesus for you. Isn't he good, eh? Right, next one, please. Right. Last one, I think this is. A job for apprentices. They turn into dustmen now. No good, eh? Right. And Jesus says, the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Right, so, when they've all been fed, Jesus says, got a job for you, lads. Right, clear up. Great, eh? Glory 1 minute, we're the miracle workers. Next minute, sweeping up. Right, it's the life of an apprentice, brothers and sisters. Yeah, that's the way it is. If you're, let me ask you this, have you come here for the glory? Yeah? Because if you have, you're in the wrong place. You come here to serve. That's what it's about, that's what they're there for. Yeah? Right, okay, but I've got a little question. He says they picked up the broken pieces that were left. What kind of pieces were left? Were they the bits that people had thought, oh, I don't fancy that, throw that bit of fish away, or that bit of bread, throw it over there? I'm sorry to say this, but we live in a society where there are a lot of scrubs around these days. You walk along the road, I did that this morning, as you walk along, there's so much stuff to do with people's stomachs. Empty cans, crisp packets, sweet packets, drink stuff, you name it, all dumped all around the way, isn't it? Scruffs! What do you think these lot were? I don't think they left a mess. I don't think they really left a load of bits of fish and bread around the place. So what were the scraps or the bits that were left? They were the platefuls that would be ready for the next lot, I suspect. So there were decent bits that were left. That's what I'm getting at. It's decent stuff, right? So there to go and collect it all. They didn't use the sweeping brush, of course. And they put it somewhere. Where did they get the baskets from? It doesn't say. Maybe the Lord created a few baskets for them. I don't know. But they got some baskets, right? Some nice biggish baskets, you know. And they filled them up. 12 baskets full of the bits that were left over. Fish and chips. Very nice. Interestingly, right? By the time they finished, they've got enough food for them as well. And more. Isn't the Lord generous? Yeah. Good enough, right? So that's their reward for working. Well, not quite. Yeah, they get fed, and then what?
The boy was blessed, wasn't he?
The boy was blessed. People were blessed. Yes.
Cleared up, tidied up.
They cleared up, tidied up, had a good time. Do you think they got some rest after that?
Yes.
I think they did. You know, Jesus isn't a hard taskmaster. But he had to teach them a few things before they got to bed. Right? So he put them through the apprenticeship course. And he'll do that with you, brother and sister. It's terrible, isn't it? Yeah. Especially when you think, oh, I'm due for the rest now, Lord. He says, I've got another couple of jobs for you. Well, pray for grace, brothers and sisters. Right? So, are you apprentices?
Yes.
Or are we just hangers on? That's no good, is it? Yeah. So, the Lord help you to be gracious. Yes. And let's pray when we see more of God's supernatural activity accompanying the work and mission that he gives. That's what we want to say. Of course, I want to say this, you know. What's the greatest miracle? that happens is when someone gives their life to Jesus.
Salvation,
you know. So I'm not diminishing the preaching of the word by any means. It's important, yeah, because that brings in the greatest of all miracles. But it's to be accompanied by action. God will back it up with his supernatural working as we're doing it his way. Lord, help us, eh? Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus, your Son. Lord, that he knows what he's going to do when he asks us to do something. Lord, I pray for myself, for all of us, Lord, that we won't try and carry the whole thing on our own shoulders as if it's all down to us. We've got to do it, we've got to look good and all that, Lord. Forgive us for trying to grab some of your glory. Lord, I pray you will use us as you see best. May we be obedient, humble and grateful servants. Lord, they could write at the end of that day in their little diaries, Lord, some of the amazing things that you had done in them and through them and for them. But most of all, Lord, what a great God you are. What a wonderful Saviour. Full of compassion, Lord. Lord, and you show that to us too. Lord, may as we receive, give it away as well. Lord, thank you for your love and your mercy. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you're our teacher. Oh Lord, help us to be good learners, good apprentices, for your glory, Lord. Amen.